still be in Psalms, the 23rd chapter. Psalms, the 23rd chapter. If you got that, go to it with me. Psalms, the 23rd chapter. This is a lot of y'all favorite verse. This is a verse that if you don't go to church at all, you kind of know this one. You know, if you ain't never been to church, if you ain't never did church, if you don't really care for the church and all that kind of stuff, if you know just a little bit about church, you done heard this verse before. This particular chapter of Psalms, all right? So, everybody got it? Say, I got it. If you don't, if you need more time, say, Lord, help me. Lord, help her. Amen. Did I give my wife a hand? She's here. You have your mom or something? Okay. Great. Psalms 23rd chapter. And you got to say, I got it. Got it? If you don't have it and you don't want to look for it, say, put it on the screen. All right, I'm going to put it on the screen. Psalms 23rd chapter, read from the New King James Version. And it reads thus, the Lord is, let's read it together. One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the sea of waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell house of the Lord forever.
All right. Last week we started this series in the book of Psalms, the Psalm 23rd chapter. So I'm going to give a quick review because just going back through it always kind of helps to bring us up to where we are. All right. So last week we started in the first verse. All right. We gave out these were the benefits of being connected to God. This is what we call the benefits or the blessings of being connected to God. All right. So, we know who wrote the book of Psalms, a lot of the Psalms. David is the author of a lot of books in Psalms. He's a particular author of this particular chapter, all right? And we know a lot about David. We went through his whole lineage before. We went through his whole story. We know he was the eighth son of Jesse. The prophet came to anoint the king, and his dad didn't even invite him in the house to get anointed. But the prophet said, that must be the one that I need. And so just David comes in, gets anointed to be king, and goes back out to the field to work. All right, he's the shepherd boy. He watches over the sheep. All right, David grows up, becomes king one day. All right, so he starts, and even when he was in the pastures, in the fields, he was working on these psalms. All right, Psalms is a book of psalms. All right, Psalms is a book of psalms. It's worship that David had unto the Lord. All right, and so it starts off with, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." Amen. And so, we talked about last week the difference between what? Wants and needs. That we want a lot of stuff, but we don't need a whole lot of stuff. You only need one pair of shoes, truth be told. But we want a whole closet full. You only need one shirt. But we want multiple shirts. People in Africa actually need one shirt, need one pair of shoes. And so, we need to distinguish about our wants and our needs. Amen? And so, our blessing number one was what? Anybody got your notes? Spiritual nourishment. God can give us exactly what we need. We need, we talked about, this is our quote from last week. You will never experience external fulfillment as long as you are internally empty. All right, so if you get all this stuff, obtain all these things, obtain all these blessings, all this material stuff, and don't have nothing on the inside of you, none of that stuff will prosper. Profit you anything, all right? Steve Jobs, he was rich. Apple, all that kind of stuff, had all the money he could want, all the things he could have, and still committed suicide because he had nothing on the inside of him to keep him going, amen? So you need your spiritual nourishment, amen? Blessing number two was what? Replenishing, spiritual replenishing. The Bible says he makes me to lie down. God just wants us to take some time and take a breather for ourselves. Yes. He wants you to lay down. And if you don't do it, he'll make you do it. He'll make you take a break. He'll make you slow down. He'll make that person break up with you. He'll make their relationship end. He'll make their job fire you. He'll make all these things happen for you to come into what he wants you to do. He'll make you lie down. All right? That was spiritual replenishing. Blessing number three. What is it? Spiritual what? Restoration. The Bible says, he restores my soul. All right? We said when he restores us, what do we get? We get two things. What? Forgiveness and what?
Peace.
We get two things when God restores us. Forgiveness and peace. Amen? All right. Lesson number four. I'm kind of going through it quickly. Lesson number four. Spiritual guidance. Spiritual guidance. He said he leads me down the path of what? Righteousness. All right. He's guiding us spiritually. And we said last week that in everything that we do, we need some kind of spiritual guidance. Don't make any more decisions in your life without consulting God first. Amen?
Amen.
So, this is part two. And so, today our verse focus is verse number four. Verse number four is our focus today. And I'm going to read it again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they do what?
Comfort me.
Amen. All right, so this is our blessing number five. This is blessing number five that you get from Psalms 23. Spiritual protection. Somebody say spiritual protection.
Spiritual protection.
Spiritual protection is what we get in verse number four. This is blessing number five. To protect. A person that protects. A person or thing that prevents someone or something from suffering harm or injury. All right, this is the definition of protect. And God, and we can all attest to this, we can all testify to this, that God has protected us from some stuff that we don't put ourselves in. Anybody agree with that?
Amen.
God done kept you in some situations that you know you put yourself in. God didn't do it, the devil didn't do it, you did. Amen. And so, this is spiritual protection. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they do what?
Comfort
me. All right, somebody say, he is greater than I.
He is greater than I.
Say it again, he is greater than I.
He is greater than I.
Verse number one, can we go back there? Verse number one, I saw something in this text that, you know, I've never saw a person point out in film. And so I want to give it to y'all today, all right? He is greater than I. Keep that in your mind. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Who makes me to lie down in green pastures? All right, we're going to do it again. Who makes me to lie down in green pastures?
He.
All right, who leads me beside the still waters?
He.
Next verse. Who restores my soul?
He.
Who leads me down the path of righteousness?
He.
Next verse. Yea, though. There's a problem in the text. All this time through this whole verse, the Lord, he's been doing it. I just told you, he is greater than I. All this time, he's been letting the Lord lead him. He leads me. He guides me. He does this. Now, yea, though, I walk. And what if I told you half the hell you're experiencing in your life is because you've shifted from being led to you being the lead? What if I told you that half the stuff you're experiencing is because you decided to take the lead and you decided to take God out of his place in your life? You trying to be the leader now. You done took the reins of your own life. You ain't letting God direct you anymore. And whenever you get ahead of God, you're going to find yourself in situations you probably never should have been in. And everybody can say amen right here because you know you've put yourself in situations that only God could get you out of. And I'll be honest, I've been in some situations, I've been in some relationships, some situationships, some things that I put myself in. And can I be honest with you? I don't even know how he even got me out of it. All I know is if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. The Bible says, yea, though I walk. Walk. Why didn't it say run? Why didn't it say skip? Why didn't it say job? These are questions you have to ask the text when you're reading it. It unfolds the Bible when you're reading. You want deeper revelation. You see a word like walk. You see a word that you can dig a little deeper into. Yea, though I walk. Why didn't he run? It's a valley. It's a dark place. Why didn't he run? And so a lot of people try to speed through the process. You try to handle it your own way. I'm going to get through a whole lot quicker if I do this, if I move this one over here, if I do this. I can go and get a quick leap. If I go and do this, y'all ain't going to say amen. I put that 200 right here. That'll be real quick. I know how to do it. Now, I'm trying to live right, but God, man, you taking a little time. I'm going to get this process done a whole lot quicker. And so you try to run through the process. But God is saying, walk it out. Tell somebody, walk it out.
Walk it out.
Yeah, just trust God. Walk it out. Take your time. Let God walk you through this valley experience that you're in. Amen? So the Bible says, yea, though I walk. And this is critical. Why? Because we need to make 2019 the last year we blame others for our bad decisions. Yea, though I walk. This is your personal walk. Real maturity is being able to say some of the dark valleys in my life, some of the bad experiences I've chosen, some of the things I've done, the reason why I am where I am was my choice. I chose this. Are you mature enough to say that? I chose this. If I would have did this better, if I would have did this life better, if I would have did this better, if I would have went to class, if I would have did this, if I would have did this, I would have did this. But I chose to be where I am. Life happens to everybody. I'm not gonna say that life don't happen. But a lot of stuff that happens in our life is because of a choice. Amen. Say this, from this point on. Now say it like you mean it. From this point on.
From this point on, I will
stay connected
to God.
Put him first
so
I can make better choices.
Let's
say it again.
From this point on,
I will
stay connected to God.
Put him first
so
I can make better choices.
I receive.
We got to make better choices in this year. What you did this year, you should be doing in 2020. What you did last week, you should be doing this week. Make some better choices. This is practical preaching. I ain't got to holler at you. We ain't got to run. We ain't got to roll on the floor. This is just about choices. If you choose better, you'll do better. If you keep choosing wrong, wrong will continue to follow. Amen. Deuteronomy 30. And 19, here's a scripture reference for this. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says this. This New Living Translation. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. I didn't put this in this slide, so you didn't worry. All right, so Deuteronomy 30 and 19, y'all can write it down for y'all own reference. It says this. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on the heaven and earth, to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Deuteronomy tells us that God has given us all a choice. He said, I'll give you a choice between blessings and curses, between life and death. I want you to choose life, but that's your choice. You can choose death. That'll be your choice. You can choose poverty. That'll be your choice. You can choose that bad relationship and continue to get beat upside the head. That's your choice. You can choose that wrong girl, get your heart hurt, but that's your choice. Amen?
Amen.
And so, and I want to say this, and I don't want to sound like a heretic, but God does not make every decision for us. But I've never heard nobody say that, and I don't want you to, you know, throw me out to church. But God does not make every decision for us. I know that kind of sound wrong, but I'm trying to explain this a little bit. I don't believe that God makes every decision for us. He gives us a choice, or some call it free will. For example, when you woke up this morning, all right, and you was picking out your clothes, God didn't tell you to put this shirt with them pants. Or unless you like super deep and you pray about that kind of stuff. But God didn't tell you to put that shirt with them pants. He didn't tell you to put them shoes with them pants. He didn't tell you to pick up oatmeal instead of cereal, cold cereal. He didn't tell you to pick up toast instead of a bun. He didn't tell you to pick up Fruit Loops instead of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You had a what? Choice. God gives us all choices. And all I'm trying to say is that in 2020, and not just 2020, even this week, we got to make better choices. You got to make some better choices. If you want to do better, you got to make better choices. Amen. So, yea though I walk through, we're just going to walk through this one verse, and we're going to go home. Yea though I walk through, somebody say through. Now, I said, David, why? I asked the question to the text because I'm biblically nosy and I like to, ask the text questions. When you want to know something, you got to ask the text. I said, David, why didn't you say, yea though I walk in? That could have worked. Yea though I walk in. I walk in the valley. I walk in the door. I walk in this. I walk in that. So I said, David, why didn't you say, yea though I walk in? David said, what you've been doing, I did what you've been doing all your life. I said, what's that, David? He said, you've been prophesying yourself out of every situation you've been in. You've been saying, pray for me, I'm going through. You've been prophesying, didn't even know it. Because you knew you were coming out of that thing. David said, if I would have said in, if I would have said the word in instead of through, there would be no clear indignation of my final destination. But through says this, even though I'm going in, I'm coming out. I wish I had a church right there. Through says, even though I'm going in, I'm coming out. And I don't know who I'm preaching to in this space that we call sanctuary, but that feels like you're in some stuff right now, but God told me to tell you that the devil is trying to paint a picture that you're in this thing, but no, tell somebody, I'm just going through. It's the process. The devil trying to weigh on my mind, trying to make me think this is the end for me, but I'm just going through. Yay, though I walk through the valley. A valley is the lowest region between mountains or hills, which tells me that in a valley, a person that's in a valley knows what it means or feels like to have been up at one point. Somebody that's in a valley had to know what it feels like to be up at one point. You get what I'm saying? Because you either was on the hill or you was on the mountain. And you had to come down into the valley. So you know what it feels like to have been up at one point. And many of us get frustrated in the valley because we don't remember that we were once up. You ain't always been broke. You ain't always had these bad relationships. You ain't always ran into the wrong children. You ain't always had these messed up supervisors. You ain't always had these messed up coworkers. It ain't always been like this. But all you need to remember is if God had did it before, he can do it again. I done been up on the mountain. And I done been down in a real valley. And some of y'all have experienced that too. You done been up. You done been down. You done been up and you've been down. But that's just a sign of life. If you go into the hospital and see the little screen in the room and they have a blood thing on you, that's just a sign of life. If you're going straight, it's over with. But if you're going up, if you got some ups and downs in your life, it's just life. You're going through the process. You're living. You're growing. You're going through every piece of life that you need to go through. And some of y'all may be in a valley experience right now. You may feel like you're in a valley. You may feel like you're at your wits' end. God ain't going to bring you out of this thing. But all you got to do is remember, one time, I was up. And if God did that for me that time, he can do it again. Amen. So, tell somebody, if God brought you out, he'll do it again. If God brought you through, He can bring me through it either. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. Tell somebody, I ain't never scared.
I ain't never scared.
I'm kicking back to the Summer Jam series. I ain't never scared. Tell somebody else that I ain't never scared. The shadow of death, the shadow of death represents any difficult experience of life that makes us afraid. And it's okay. It's okay to be afraid. You know, some Christians and some preachers may tell you, that ain't fearing for us. No, we ain't supposed to be scared. There's some stuff in life that hit me that had me scared. Anybody can attest to that. You done been in some scary situations. Like, Lord, man, if you don't come through, man, this is scary, brother. And so, it's okay to be afraid. We all get afraid. But we have to remember this point right here. Shadows only appear where light is already present. Shadows only appear where light is already present. And the old saints would say it this way. The old saints taught us that Jesus is the what? Light of the world. Shadows only appear where the light is already present. It may look like you're all alone, but long as you got a shadow, you ought to know that God is somewhere in the mix. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let me play softly. We can get out of here. Your rod and your staff, they do what? Comfort me. Now, just want to talk about the rod and the staff for just two brief minutes, and we're going to get up out of here. All right, so the shepherd has what he calls a staff, right? You've seen, you know, pictures with that. I wish I could have got a picture and stuff, but he got a staff. All right? On one end of the staff, it has this hook. It has a hook on the end of the staff. But the rod is a little bit different. All right? The rod has a sharp point at the end. We're going to just call it a knife. All right? We're going to call it a sharp point a knife. We're going to say he got a hook on top and a knife on the bottom. All right? So he's walking with this every day with the sheep, trying to guide him, trying to lead him, trying to take him through. He's marking his territory because the sharp point lets him know his way back. The sharp point lets him know his way back. He drags it through, let him know that we're coming back this way, we went this way, we need to go back the same route. Alright? So imagine you having your staff or a cane with the hook and a knife at the bottom. The hook is this. The hook does this. When the sheep get out of line, the shepherd uses the hook to pull the sheep back in. The shepherd used the hook to pull the sheep back in. Some of us have strayed away at some point in our life. Some of us have had some moments where we were just like, God, you know, I'm just going to try something else. We done had some moments where it was just like, man, I'm just doing me right now. But God's like, no, today is your day to get pulled back in. He's going to use his staff to pull you back in. He's the good shepherd. He's using his staff to pull you back in from when you steered away. And so the sharp point on the rod, it was used because the sheep were in the pasture and the wolves would always come around and try to eat the sheep. All right? Try to kill the sheep, try to eat them up and all that good stuff. The knife was used, or the end point of the rod was used to keep the wolves away. It was pulling them in, keeping the wolves away at the same time. And it sounds like our lives. Because God is always pulling us back and always trying to keep stuff that can harm us away from us. And so, I want you to be encouraged that God is pulling you in. He's your shepherd. He won't let you walk through the valley alone. Even though it's a shadow, it's just a shadow. But as long as you got a shadow, you know that the light is. You know that the light is there. You know that he's in your corner. You know that he's behind your back. You know he's got you in the palm of his hand. As long as you got Jesus, you can make it through. You can make it through any situation, any difficult moment, anything that may be bothering you. Amen? Amen. And so, God, we pray. We love you and we honor you, God. We ask you, God, to Give us to know that you are with us, God. We know that we are going through some difficult stuff. We may be facing some trials, some situations, God, but God, you are with us. And we trust you, even in the process, God. We trust you, even in these difficult moments, to know that you will come through. And God, we give you the glory and the praise, God. Even though we're in the valley, God, we ask you, God, to remember, remind us of those mountaintop experiences that we've already experienced in life. God, you're with us, and we trust you, and we believe your word, that you won't leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and give your heart.